Boker Tov, and welcome to our second class, our second long-distance class on Monday mornings, where we are learning Sefer Daniel. We have just begun Sefer Daniel last week. We started with Perek Aleph. We did a little historical background to know when Daniel is taking place. The cast of characters, which so far consisted of Nebuchadnezzar, who is king of Babel, who is about to conquer the known world, and especially for our purposes, to conquer Yehuda. And of course, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who were taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar, among the young men of other nations who were known to have special chokhmah, and Nebuchadnezzar's idea was to use the chokhmah of all the nations that he conquered. We learned that they were fed with special food and specially trained so that they would maximize whatever natural chokhmah they had, and they would then serve to be excellent advisors for Nebuchadnezzar. Then we went immediately. This happened, and Daniel and his friends were able to substitute the food of the king with seeds and nuts and water, and yet they thrived both physically and mentally, and they were chosen by the king at the end of the three-year period to be his special advisors and to stand before him in the palace. We went to Perek Bet, and Perek Bet told us a story about a dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, and he couldn't remember it. And he called all of the people, all of his advisors that were known to be experts in interpreting dreams. And he told them, I had a dream and it frightened me. Vatit pa'em rucho. The Navi, the Sefer told us, he was just shattered. His spirit was shattered. He wasn't able to get back to sleep. He was totally shattered, but he could not remember what it was about the dream that frightened him, nor could he even remember the dream itself. And he asked his Chachamim to please tell him what the dream was and its interpretation. And basically, his Chachamim said, very logically, tell us the dream and we will try to interpret it. And he said, no, I don't remember the dream and it's your job to tell me the dream. Whereupon it might be that they were speaking among themselves and thinking that they would make up some kind of story and say the dream was referring to something in the far distant future. And so Nebuchadnezzar got very angry, and he said, I don't want the interpretation first. What you must do is first tell me the dream, because I don't remember it. If you tell it to me correctly, I will recognize it. And then, when I recognize that that is the dream that I had, then I will want you to give me the interpretation. And that was basically where we stopped. There is something that I should have mentioned last week, something very, very interesting. When most of the Sfarim in Nevi'im give us a year, they say it happened in the first year or something like that, then it doesn't necessarily mean what it seems to mean according to the Pshat. This happens again and again, where when years are counting, they mean much more than what it would seem on the surface. And so I want to go back for a moment to the beginning of Perek Bet, the first Pasuk, which read, Uvishnat Shtayim l'malchut Nebuchadnezzar, chalam Nebuchadnezzar chalamot. In the second year of the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar, he had dreams. The plural is used, the Malbim says, because the dream that he dreamt was really very, very confusing and multi-leveled. And he felt that it was not just one dream, but it was rather several. But it tells us that wasn't the point. Its point is, it says this was in the second year of the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar. And if we say it's in the second year, then the whole story doesn't make sense. Because in the second year, Nebuchadnezzar did not yet bring Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah to Babel. And we will see as the story unfolds that whereas all the wise men of Nebuchadnezzar were unable to tell him what the dream was, I'm giving away the secret, but Daniel will be able to tell him what the dream was. And it would seem that Daniel was already established at the palace for quite a while. And so Chazal tell us something interesting. They say Bishnat Shtayim leMalchut Nebuchadnezzar doesn't really mean it's the second year from when he became king altogether, but rather it means that it's the second year. Let's look at the Malbim, because he says, Lachein Tzadku Divrei Chazal. The words of Chazal are correct. Shepirshu Bishnat Shtayim leMalchut HaKlali Shel Nebuchadnezzar. That it's not the second year of when he first became king, but the second year of when he actually ruled over most of the world as it was known at that time. Shezeh haya achar churban habayit. I want you to hear that. It was very important. This dream took place after the Beit HaMikdash, the first Beit HaMikdash, was destroyed. She'az kavash kol ha'umot umalach b'kipa. Because at that time, he conquered all of the nations, not just Yehuda, not just Eretz Yisrael, but all of the nations around them, including Mitzrayim and Ammon and Moab, all of those nations around. And he ruled b'kipa. It means he ruled over an empire. He was an emperor at that time. V'oz chashav machshavot. And at that point, when he was ruling over the world as it was known, chashav machshavot lada'at mi yimloch acharav. He kept thinking, okay, who is going to be king after me? Will my children be able to maintain the amazing victories that I have accomplished? Will they be able to maintain this empire over which I rule? Vahodiyulo et asher yihyeh ba'acharit hayamim. And so, because he was beginning to wonder about his progeny and what would happen after he was no longer alive, then it was made known to him something about acharit hayamim, and it doesn't really mean, usually when we say acharit hayamim, we mean messianic times, we mean at the end of days, but here it means later in time. It was made known to him what would be later in time after he died and after some of his children also died. I guess you heard my phone. I apologize. I took it off the hook, so hopefully that will not happen again. That's what happens when you are recording at home. I'll have to learn all the little tricks. At any rate, what we just learned was that this whole story in Perek Bet about the dream of Nebuchadnezzar actually took place many years later. Daniel and his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, had already been in the king's palace for quite a while. And this incident happened after the Beit HaMikdash was already destroyed, and Nebuchadnezzar was feeling like he was the great king of the world. At any rate, we had left the story as the as all of the wise men, all of the sorcerers and magicians were telling Nebuchadnezzar, we can't possibly tell you something that you're not telling us. If you don't tell us what the dream is, we can't possibly tell you what the interpretation is. There's just no way. And they go on saying, and I am going to start at this point, in Perek Bet, please follow. I hope that you have a text. Perek Bet Pasuk Yud. Ano Kazdae Kadam Malka V'Amrim. And so the Kazdim, are the wise men, the Chaldeans, who were known to be able to interpret dreams. They raised their voice before the king, and they said, La itai enesh al yabeshta di milat malka yuchal hachavaya. There is no man on the earth, yabeshta yabasha, there is no man on earth that could possibly do what the king is asking. Kol kavel di kol melech rav shalit mila kidna lo sha'el l'chol chartam v'ashaf v'kazda'e. Because there was never any king, no matter how great and no matter over how many people he ruled, that requested a thing like this from any magician or Chaldean. Nobody ever asked this before, because it's impossible to do. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Umilta di Malka Sha'el Yakira, V'acharon La Itai di Chavinan Kadam Malka. That which the king is asking, yakira, is very difficult. Yakar is like heavy, kavod, so it's either honor or difficulty. And there is nobody, acharon lo ita, there is nobody other than us that would be able to do this before the king. Don't think it's just us, Nebuchadnezzar. It is not just us. There is nobody that would be able to do this. Lohein Elohin di midorchun im besora lo itohi. And the reason that it can't be done is that there aren't any angels that live among flesh and blood human beings. There just aren't any at all. Only an angel, only a heavenly being, would be able to do this. And you know what? On earth, we only have human beings. And if we have human beings, there is nobody who could do what you're asking. This is an interesting pasuk, because it seems that there is a Medrash Tanchuma on it. Look at the pasuk again. What the king is asking is very difficult, and there is nobody other than us that would be able to do what you're asking. And so I want to read you again from the Malbim, because I think it's really very good. I just have to find it. Excuse me. I think that I'm going to have to look in Rashi, because I cannot find it. Wait. Sorry. Chazal Pirshu. Sorry, I'm really sorry, couldn't find the place. So it is in the Rashi also. Rashi attributes it to a Medrash Tanchuma. And Malbim says, Chazal Pirshu, She'amru, She'hadavar Yakira, She'tzarich Nevu'ah. What you're asking for is Yakira, meaning not just difficult, but very precious. It needs actual nevuah. It needs a godly figure to reveal what you're asking. Va'aharon lo yesh b'Yisrael ba'urim v'tumim. And there is no longer an Aharon in Yisrael who wears the Urim v'tumim. Simply, there is no longer a Kohen Gadol in the Beit HaMikdash who was able to get a message from a Kadosh Baruch Hu through the Urim v'tumim that he wore on his chest. Yadatam, Lada'atam, Hodu, Shel Yisrael hayaskula zot lahasig dvar nevua me Elokim el yon asher bashamayim vizelo nimtza od achar churban Beit HaMikdash. In other words, these magicians, these advisors, these sorcerers of Nebuchadnezzar were well aware that there was something very unusual and different that took place in the Beit HaMikdash that was in Yehuda, that was in Yerushalayim. They knew that there was something called Nevuah. There was a direct line open to the Kohen Gadol, who I guess we could translate and say the high priest in the Beit HaMikdash, that if there were a difficult question, this Kohen Gadol was able to turn to a Kadosh Baruch Hu and actually ask him a question. And he would get an answer via one of the articles that was actually part of his clothing. And so we learn from this, this is why I mentioned a few minutes ago, we learn from this that the Beit HaMikdash has already been destroyed. And these wise men are saying to Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar, what you are asking is impossible. Nobody can do this. There was a time, perhaps, that there would have been a person who could have done it in the Beit HaMikdash. And that person is no longer there because you, O great king, just destroyed it. According to the Medrash Tanchuma, the king at that point became incensed. And he said, if you knew that this type of thing took place in that holy temple that was in Yerushalayim, why did you not tell me before I destroyed it? And because of that, Pasuk Yud Bet says, Kol Kaveil, the law Malka Benas V'Katzav Sagi. Because of what he heard, the king burst out in great anger. Sagi is very great. V'amar lahovda l'chol chakimei Babel. And he said to totally wipe out and destroy all of the wise men of Babel. Please note that he's not just saying some of the wise men of Babel, but he's saying all of them. Whereas only certain types of Chachamim were brought before him, at this point he's saying, even those whom I didn't call, even those who I know nothing about, I want everybody killed because this is impossible. Pasuk Yud Gimel, V'data Nefkat, V'chakimaya Mitkatlim, Uva'o Daniel V'chavrohi Lehitkatala. And the law was given, remember, in Megillat Esther, V'hadat Nitna, B'shushana Bira, V'data Nefkat, the Mishpat was given, was expressed, and the wise men started being killed. And they also came to Daniel and Chaverohi and his friends to kill them as well. In other words, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were known as some of the wise people that were in, so to speak, the employ of Nebuchadnezzar. And they also would have been killed at this point.
Bedayin Daniel Hativ Eta Utaim Laaryoch Rav Tabachaya Di Malka Dinfak Lakatala Lakime Babel. Bedayin is then. We're going to see that word a lot. The word Bedayin will appear a lot. Then, or at this point, or as a result, Daniel brought forth an Eitza Uta'am. He gave an idea and some reasoning to Aryoch, Rav Tabachaya. You know Rav Tabachem is, we know that from Mitzrayim. The chief executioner is what we're talking about. The chief executioner of the king who was going out to kill all of the Chachamim, Daniel thought about what was going on, and he must have thought very quickly, and he got an idea. And he brought forth an idea. He stopped this guy. His name is Aryoch. And he's the chief executioner, and it is his job, right now, to kill all of the Chachamim of Bavel. And Daniel approached him. Anev Amar La'aryoch, Shalita di Malka, Almadita Mahachpitza Min Kadam Malka. And Daniel pretends, he's very clever, we're going to see this again and again. He pretends that he doesn't know what's going on. And he says to Aryoch, what is going on? Why is it that this law came out from the king and you're supposed to kill everybody? What is going on? Could you kindly explain to me what is going on? What is this law? Almadata Mahakpita. Why, for what reason did this mishpat come before the king? Adayin Milta Hoda Aryoch LeDaniel. And so Aryoch told Daniel the whole story, what had been going on. Daniel is sort of like buying time. Is that a good expression? He is stopping the executioner, and he can't just say, wait, don't kill me, I have something to tell you. But rather, he thought, if he says, pardon me, can I ask you, what's going on? Before you kill me, can you just tell me what's going on? I don't know what's going on. V'Daniel al uva'amin malka dizman yintain le upishra l'hachavaya l'malka. And when Daniel heard from Aryoch what was going on, then he said to Aryoch, wait a minute, let's not hurry, because I just need a little time. Give me a little time. And Aryoch says, you can't ask me. You have to really ask the king. And that's why the pasuk says that uva'a min malka, that he came from before the king. That Daniel actually asked the king himself. And notice what he says to him. He doesn't say, give me time to try to know, to understand, to get a message about what the dream is. No. He acts as if he knows what the dream is. Let's look at the pasuk again. Dizman yitain lei, that time should be given to him. Upishre lahachavaya lemalka, so that he will be able to explain the meaning, the interpretation of the dream. Nebuchadnezzar was asking for the dream. Remember, he told his advisors, you have to tell me the dream first. So Daniel doesn't go into the king and say, give me a little bit more time to find out about the dream. But rather, he says, give me a little bit more time to understand it, so that I can explain it to you properly. I just need a little bit more time. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Edayin Daniel Vete Azal. And then Daniel went to his house. Ulechananya Mishael v'Azaria Chavroi Milta Hoda. And to his friends, Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah, he told everything that was going on and what was happening. Uverachamim lemiba'e min kadam ela shmaya al raza dina. And he asked them to daven with him and to ask for rachamim, to beg for rachamim from before the God of the heavens, al raza dina, on this secret, raza dina, this secret. Dilo Yehovdun Daniel v'chavroi im sha'or chakimei Babel. So that Daniel and his friend should not be killed with all the rest of the wise men of Babel. So what he's doing, Daniel, is, first of all, he claims that he can't concentrate in the palace on what the meaning of the dream is. He has to go home, and he has to really be alone and be able to think about and reason through what the dream is. Of course, he doesn't even know the dream yet, but that's beside the point. But he also calls his three friends because he knows that the tefillah of four is much better than the tefillah of one. The tefillah of four, especially three additional tzaddikim, is much better than his tefillah alone. And so he calls his friends together and he says, we must daven, we must pray before HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save us, to reveal the dream to us and save us so that we will not be killed. Edayin, this is Pasuk Yutet now. Edayin l'Daniel b'chezva d'layla raza gali. Then to Daniel, in a vision at night, the secret was revealed. Edayin Daniel barach l'ela shemaya. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. In other words, the secret is revealed to Daniel in a night vision. We are going to see that this is the way things are revealed to Daniel. Daniel gets what we will call nevuah via night visions. He doesn't hear voices. He sees visions. Things are revealed to him, and we will see things are interpreted to him in these night visions. And so this is the first one that we're told about. Daniel, it's revealed to him. The dream that the king had was revealed to him. The Malbim said he actually saw the dream exactly the way Nebuchadnezzar saw it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, said to Daniel, this is the dream, and he showed it to him bidyuk, exactly the way it was shown to Nebuchadnezzar. As a result of which, Daniel, of course, blessed, he gave a bracha, he is thanking the God of the heavens. Ane Daniel v'amar, Daniel raised his voice and said, Lehevei shmei di Elohim varach min olma va'ad olma. May the name of God be blessed from this end of the world to the other. Like we say, La'olam ulolmei olamin. We say it in Ivrit. So, olma min olma di va'ad olma is the same idea. It means truly forever and ever. And throughout all worlds, in other words, whatever worlds HaKadosh Baruch Hu already created and destroyed, whatever worlds HaKadosh Baruch Hu will create and destroy again in the future, his name will always, always, eternally be blessed. Di chachmeta ugvurta dilehi. Because all wisdom and all strength belongs to him. Everything comes from him. He is the source of wisdom. He is the source of, perhaps better we should say, knowledge. Chokhmah is knowledge. He is the source of knowledge, and he is the source of all strength. And then he's going to explain how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of all strength. And in the first pasuk, he talks about the kind of strength that human beings can aspire to and understand. And in the next pasuk, he's going to talk about the kind of strength that human beings cannot possibly ever achieve. They can't even aspire to it. The secrets of the world, the secrets that we have no idea about, and we know that we have no control over. So, in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, we have, V'hu mahashne idonaya v'zimnaya mahad v'zimnaya. And he changes times. He changes amounts of time. I am going to look in Metzudot for a minute to try to make it a little bit clearer to you. Here we go. Mishane ha'itim v'hazmanim. V'ratzel omar. He changes times. Machalif zman hayom lelaila. When it says that he changes times, according to Metzudot, it means that he can switch the world from total darkness to total light, from a time that we call night to a time that we call day, and then back again. Mahadei malchim umahakim malchim. He destroys kings, and then he establishes kings. In other words, he is in charge of all of the kings who rule in the world. And it is he who knows when a king will take his place on a throne of a given country and when he will be removed. Yehev chochmata l'chakimin umanda'a liyodei bina. He gives chokhmah knowledge to those who are able to accept knowledge, chakimin, and he gives manda'a, da'at, to those who know bina, to those who have understanding. Da'at is the ability to apply. In other words, he's talking about three levels of wisdom that HaKadosh Baruch Hu owns and gives to people. He gives knowledge to people who are worthy of being able to accept knowledge. And to some of those, he gives bina, which is the ability, as Chazal say, lahavin davar mitoch davar, to truly understand something about that knowledge that's much deeper and that is only implied by that knowledge itself. But then that person who receives that chokhmah and that bina may also be given that which is called da'at. And the da'at is that he actually can use it. In other words, he takes the chokhmah and the bina and he applies it to understand something about the world. So that pasuk, Daniel is praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for things that we understand. We couldn't do them, but we understand. And that is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of night and days, in charge of the way the universe works. He is in charge of setting up kings and destroying kings. And he is in charge of wisdom. But then in Chav Bet he says, Hu galei amikta umisatra'a. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can reveal the very depths and that which is hidden. In other words, God knows everything. There is nothing hidden. There is nothing that a person can hide in his most secret of rooms, in his room within rooms, in the most secret cache that he has. There is nothing that he could hide from before Hashem. There is nothing so deep, buried so deep, or so hidden. Yoda ma b'chashova. He knows what is in darkness. And there is always, he knows what's in the darkness, and there is always light that dwells with him. He dwells in light, and it really means everything is clear. Everything is known. Everything is spread out before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. L'cha ela avati mahodei u'mishabeach ana di chachmata u'gvurta yahaftli. You, God of my fathers, I am modeh u'mishabeach, I am acknowledging and praising your that, but you, because of the chachma and the strength, the courage you gave me, uka'an hodatani di ba'ayna minach di milat malka hodatana. Not only have you always helped me, says God of my fathers, and you've given me all kinds of chokma and gevura, but right now you have made known to me, before me, the word of the king, so that I can go and speak to him. So Daniel is praising God and thanking him. He's praising him because he is the source of all, and he's thanking him for helping him in general, and he is also thanking him for helping him at this particular moment. We are up to Pasuk Chav Dalet in this unbelievable perek. Kol kavel dena Daniel al Arioch di mani malka lahovada lachakime bavel. Then Kol Kavel is as a result of this. This Daniel went up to Arioch, who the king had appointed to destroy all of the chachamim, all of the sorcerers, the wise men of Bavel. Azal, he went. Azal, v'chena marle l'chakime Bavel al tahoved. And he said to him, quickly, do not continue killing all of the wise men of Bavel. Ha'alni kada malka upishra l'malka achavei. Stop for a minute. It would seem that this Arioch all the time was going around seeking in the whole capital city of Bavel. He was seeking all of the Chachamim and killing them because that's what he was supposed to do. That was his job. He is the chief executioner. He is the Rav HaTabachim. And Daniel stopped him and said, wait! Just stop for a moment, because there is something that I can tell the king right now. Please bring me before the king, and I am going to explain to him. I am going to reveal to him what he's asking. Adayin Arioch behit bahala hanel Daniel kadamalka. At that point, Arioch behit bahala is a total confusion and hurry. Yes, you remember that. You remember many of the words that are used here in Daniel are used in Megillat Esther, because some of the words of Aramaic became part of our language. And some of the ways the language is used, we can see very clearly reflected here, where it's actually Aramaic, and then later in Megillat Esther, where the same expressions are used in an Ivrit that has changed a little bit since Am Yisrael were in exile. And so if you remember in Megillat Esther, after Haman has led Mordechai through the streets of the city on the king's horse and wearing the king's garments, then he comes home and we are told, Vayavhilu, same word, Lahavi et Haman, El Hamishteh Asher Asta Esther. The king's men were there already, and Vayavhilu, they hurried, because he was late to bring Haman to the second party of Esther. So here we have Behit Bahala, the same kind of hurry, a confused kind of hurry. So this Arioch brought Daniel with that hurry, Hana'al LeDaniel, Kadamalka. He brought Daniel, he led him up before the king. V'chena Marle, and this is what he said to the king, Di hashkachat gevar min bnei galuta di Yehud, di pishra lemalka Yehuda. He said to him, if you're wondering why I'm not out killing all of the Chachamim of Babel, I want you to know that I have found a man, Gevar, from the sons of the exile, from the people that you brought here in exile, Di Yehud, from Yehuda, who will be able to make known the interpretation to the king. He is taking a lot of credit, our good friend Arioch, but that's okay, we can understand, because his head is probably on the chopping block as well. And he is saying to the king, I found somebody that might be able to do exactly what you're asking. By the way, in regard to that, we should mention that one of the things that we need to know about the kings of Babel, specifically Nebuchadnezzar, is that they were filled with an unbelievable amount of arrogance. They really considered themselves godlike, and they felt that they were totally to be obeyed by everybody, by their servants, by their subjects, by other kings that were under them. And so if the king had given instructions to kill all the Chachamim, then this Arioch has no choice if he wants to keep his so-called job. His choice is to do what the king wants. This arrogance was the nature of the kings of Ashur, like Sancheriv, and the kings of Babel, like this Nebuchadnezzar, and later his son, an arrogance, a total feeling of everything is in my hands. I am in control. I am the emperor. We are up to Pasuk Chavav. Ane Malka v'amar l'Daniel dishmei Belshazzar. The king raised his voice and said to Daniel, whose name, if you remember, was Belshazzar. We didn't repeat that, but Daniel was given a name, if you'll remember, when he was brought into the king's employ. He and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were all given Babylonian names, or whatever language was spoken at the time. And the name Belshazzar, Bel, like Baal, was the idol. Ha'itoch kohel lahodatani chelma di chazit upishrei. He says, is it possible that you have the ability to make known the dream that I saw and also its interpretation? Is it possible, Daniel, that you are able to do that? And in Pasuk, Chav Zayin, Ane Daniel Kadamalka V'amar, Raza Di Malka She'al, Loch achimim oshpin chartumim gozrin yochlin lahachavaya lemalka. He said to him, Daniel then answered before the king, and he said, that secret that the king asked none of the wise men and the sorcerers and the magicians were able to explain to the king. They were unable to do anything about it. Baram, Itai Ela Bishmaya, Galek Razin, excuse me. But he says, one moment, I'm going to do my usual thing. You'll feel that we are in class together because I'm taking a drink. And now I'm all better. So there, another drink. Just as though we were together, Halavai, I'm looking forward to the time that we will be able to learn together again on Monday mornings at the Israel Center at 9:15. It will be absolute joy to do that. And so he says, excuse me, let's go back. He says, Baram is, however, with me is the God of heavens, Gilei Rozin, who reveals secrets. V'hoda l'malka Nebuchadnezzar, madi lehevei ba'acharit yomaya. And he has made known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what is going to be at the end of days. And again, it's not really just the end of days the way we usually think of it, though it includes that too, because this dream that Nebuchadnezzar had is going to technically cover all of the time from the time of Nebuchadnezzar until the time that we do call Acharit HaYamim, the end of days, the times that there will be some kind of redeemer that we believe will come, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to send a Moshiach and a Mashiach. He says, I want you to know, Nebuchadnezzar, that the God of heavens has revealed the secret to me of your dream. And in the midst of explaining, of showing you this dream, he is going to tell you what is going to be at the end of days. Chelmach v'chezvei roshach al mishkevach dinahu. Your dream and that which you are thinking on when you lie down in your bed, this is it. In other words, I am going to tell you what it is. Zehu, dina, this is, dina, this, right? I am telling you what it is. And he tells him, Ant Malka, Rayo noyech al mishkevach sliku madi leheve achare dina vegole rozaya hodaach madi leheve. Daniel says, I know that you, king, have been lying in bed and thinking about what is going to happen after you die. I know that you have been wondering, now that you have been able to conquer the known world, I know that you're trying to understand what will be in the future. Have you built an eternal kingdom? Is Babel going to last for thousands upon thousands of years? And I know, or Hashem has revealed to me, says Daniel to Nebuchadnezzar, that you very often lie on your bed and you think about what is going to be in the future, and of course, what you can do to ensure that the future will be a good one. And he who reveals secrets has made known what is going to be. Va'ana lo b'chachma di'itai b'min kol chaya raza d'na galili lahein al divrat di pishra l'malka yahodun v'rayonai l'vavach tinda.
And he says, Daniel says very, very modestly, and as for me, it is absolutely not just because of my chokhmah. I want to read to you from the Mitzudat David. Va'ani lo ba'avor ha-chokhmah asher yesh bi yoter mikol ha-chai nitgaleli ha-sod hazeh.
Please know, Nebuchadnezzar, he said, it isn't because of me. You see, I told you he was very smart. He's saying to Nebuchadnezzar, it's not me that Hashem wanted to reveal these secrets to. It is you that Hashem is revealing these secrets. So he says, it is not that I am any wiser than all other people who are living, that this secret was revealed to me. Ratzolomar, lo me ahavat Hashem li, me rov hachachma shebi, gilali et hachalom hazeh.
It's not because Hashem loves me, or that I am so wise that he revealed me this secret.
Rak ba'avur asher ratza hamakom asher mi meha'anashim yodia lamelech et pitron chalomo.
But it's because God in heaven wanted that somebody among the people who are living today will be able to reveal the king the meaning of his dream.
Ubazet teda machshavot levavcha asher chashakta lada'at.
And through this you will know what all of the thoughts of your head have caused you to desire to know.
Mi yimloch, who will rule acharecha, after you?
Uba'avurcha gilali hamakom lahagid lecha. And it's only because of you that a Kadosh Baruch Hu revealed it to me in order to tell you about it. This is a very big thing that Daniel is saying. It is an amazing thing, because it's saying something overwhelming. It's saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually wants this Nebuchadnezzar, this non-Jewish king, this arrogant, overbearing person who thinks that he is in charge of the world. He wants there to be somebody who says to this person, there is somebody above you, and that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only is witnessing what is happening now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought it about. And not only that, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu will yet bring many, many things about in the future. And he is letting you know, and I am the instrument whereby HaKadosh Baruch Hu is letting you know something that is going to happen in the future. You might want to begin thinking, because you'll begin thinking this all through the Sefer, and you'll never finish thinking it. You will begin, you will continue, and you will go on till the very end. Why does Hashem feel it necessary to reveal these things that we are about to embark on to Nebuchadnezzar? Why does Hashem reveal to Daniel, and through Daniel, reveal to our great Chachamim, these little pieces of the future and the way the world is going to be, sometimes in general terms, sometimes in
less general and more particular terms, how is the world going to actually play out? Why? Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu let us know this? And in particular, at this point, you might have an answer or a partial answer. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically want Daniel to know this? So let's go a little bit further. Ant Malka, you king, oh, we're going to finally see the dream. I'm so glad. Because this is a good place for us to come to the end. Ant Malka, Chaze Havaita, Va'alu Tzleim Chad Sagi, Salma Dikain Rav, Vizive Yatir, Ka'em Lekavlach, Vareve Dechil. You king, this is what you were seeing. Ro'eh Hayita, you were seeing. And this is what you saw. Vihine Tzleim Chad Sagi, you saw a great, huge figure. A tzleim really is an idol, a statue. That's the word I was looking for. You saw a huge statue standing before you. It was Sagi, very big, right? Let me read you here. I want to read this to you because it's very important. Hine dmut adam echad gadol. But we have to understand, it looks like a man, but it's a statue. Tselem zehaya gadol, uzaharo yeteira umruba, va'amad lemulach. So you saw this very great figure that was shining. It was like golden. It was shining. It was filled with sparks. And it was standing before you. Vareva. And it was filled with fear. In other words, it was Zaharo Yitera Omrobe V'amad Levulach V'ta'aro Nora Uma'ayem. O king, there was a reason that you were terrified after this dream, because what you saw standing before you was a large statue, very large, in the form of a human being. And this human being, it shone, the entire statue shone, and it was an extremely frightening, of an extremely frightening appearance. I'm not going to go into the rest of the statue. I am going to stop right now, my friends. What is happening, please note. We see first that the king is an extremely autocratic person, that when he wants something, he feels he should get it, that when he gives commands, he expects them to be followed, and he wanted his wise men to tell him what his dream was and what it meant, because he was extremely frightened. We see that he was going to have all of the wise men of the kingdom killed. We wonder what he would have done afterwards, but I guess he would have brought some more people to the palace. But at any rate, in the middle of all this killing, we have Daniel come to the fore and understand that something must be done, because otherwise he and his three friends will be killed. And so he convinces the chief executioner to allow him to go before the king and pretend that he knows what the dream was, but that he needs a little time to think it over, and he uses that time to daven and to ask his three friends to daven with him for Chasdei Hashem. The dream is revealed, and Daniel says before the king, the dream was revealed to me not because of me, not because HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves me and wanted me to know this dream, but rather he revealed it to me so that I would be able to tell it to you, because everything in this dream is aimed directly at you. It is something that God in heaven wants you to know. There is a message here, and he wants you to know what that message is. You are wondering about the future? You'll know a little bit about the future. What we need to think is, why the king needs to know this? Is there a purpose in this dream? I hope you will all have a wonderful week. Feel good. Stay healthy. May we hear only besorot tovot, and may we be together very, very soon. B'mehirah v'yameinu. Thank you so much.